Mark yourself out of 10. 10 being the closest to Jesus and 1 being the furthest away. Where would you mark yourself?
10. 6.
Just think about it first. Where would you mark yourself?
10 out of 10.
In your relationship to God this morning, in your knowing of Jesus in your life, where would you mark yourself?
6.
In advance, 11? It's an interesting question because all of us, if we have a reality check, we would actually probably put ourselves down. But the correct answer is Jesus has placed us at number 10.
That's right.
Not in number 10. Jesus has placed us at number 10. Because when the moment we got saved, the moment we repented from our sins and we handed our life over to Jesus Christ and said, Lord, my life is yours now and yours is mine. The moment that we did that, Jesus said, you're mine and I've seated you today in the heavenly places in Christ, in me, actually in heaven, because that's where Jesus is. He's in heaven today. And that's our position. So if we know our position, that's the right place. If you know the right place, then everything else will flow out of that. But if you don't know who Jesus is, first of all, if you don't know who you are, which is what's been coming out this morning, then you won't live in the right place with God. And we need to be real about what we're actually doing down here on the earth. It's good to actually have a review. I do that quite regularly. How am I doing, Lord? What am I doing in my life for you? How are we doing as a church? And to mark it in a way, is it really pleasing to you? Where am I in that? But you know, our start point, this is the great thing. Every other religion in the world, you've got to climb this wretched ladder that you never get to the top of to try and get to God. But what God has done in Christianity, in faith, is that he's actually come down to us, took our place, died on the cross, took our sins and our sicknesses, and after he rose again from the dead, went back to heaven and said, it's done for you. So that you don't have to do it. I've paid the price for you. It's a free gift of grace, a free gift of God's love. If we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him into our hearts, at that moment, we are positioned into number 10. We're positioned with God, with Jesus in the heavenly places. That's our start point. Powerful stuff. Our start point is that we've been made right with God. And we've been made holy. That's why God can accept us when we die to go to be with him in heaven. Does that make sense? We've got to outwork that. We've got to live in obedience to God. That's a day by day. That's a process of being made holy, of living in holiness, living in right standing with God, doing the right things and so on. But our position is, that's why God can accept us in heaven. If any of us was to go today, we'd immediately go to be with him in heaven because Jesus has paid the price fully for us. We are accepted totally and completely in Christ Jesus. No matter what your performance is at this point today, if you feel like you're failing, if you know you're failing, God says, I still see you in my son. You're mine. Number 10. Number 10. So if you see someone failing, just say to them, number 10. Just encourage them. Number 10, you're in that prime position in Christ Jesus. Once you got saved, so live in it. Live in number 10. Don't live outside of number 10. Live in number 10. And that's what a lot of us don't do. We don't live in that position, and therefore we wonder sometimes why we fail. And God's encouraging us, not just the men, but the whole of us as a body, live in your position. Are you getting the message? Be in the right place at the right time, doing the right things. Just very briefly, let's just go to the Gospel of John. I'm going to talk for 10 minutes. Who's going to be my timekeeper today? 10 minutes. Scotty, okay. Let's go to John. Did I say John 10?
Yes.
John chapter 4. Let's go to John chapter 4. And verse 31. And while you're going there, while you're finding that, let me just say something about Adam, because that came up a bit earlier. Adam was in the right place to start with, because God created Adam perfect. But Adam disobeyed God. There's a whole story there. The devil tempted Eve. Eve got deceived, persuaded her husband. But basically, it was Adam's fault. because he could have said no, and he knew he should have said no, but he didn't. And when Adam sinned, he went out of his position. And the Bible is full of stories about people either getting into their right place, in their right position, or people being moved out of their right place, their right position. Where are you this morning? Where are you this morning? Are you living in the right place that God has for you? Remembering everything you've heard this morning, the stories and the testimonies and so on. Where are you this morning? Because God wants you to be living in the right place. Adam forfeited his right place, and we're still living the consequences of that because of his sin, right? God restored him and brought him back into a right place, right relationship with him, and that's what he wants for all of us. Think about David, and of course we're thinking about the life of David in this stronghold for the men at the moment. David was living most of his life in the right position, but there's a few times when he went off. He went off on one. One of them was when he committed adultery with Bathsheba. What happened was, when he should have been in the right position or the right place, when he should have been going to war, he stayed back at home. And while he was staying back at home, a whole series of events took place which wouldn't have happened if he'd been in the right position, in the right place. What position are you in this morning? What place are you in this morning with God and in the things that God has called you to do? Don't be like David when he got out of position. Be like David when he was in the right position, when he was having victories against Goliaths and so on, having the victory. Jesus wants us to be living in our right position. What about Ananias and Sapphira? That's a couple in the New Testament. If you don't know the story, you can read about it in Acts chapter 5. But Ananias and Sapphira basically had a lot of money that they said they were giving to the work of the church, to work of actually reaching the poor and spreading the gospel. And they said they'd given X amount, but actually they'd only given half of it and kept half of it back. And God took their lives because they lied to the Holy Spirit. They came out of their position. It's a scary story for the New Testament. That's worthy of a little read just before you go to bed at night, just to keep you on track. Not to lie to the Spirit, but to keep yourself in the right position. What about Elijah? Elijah, tremendous prophet in the Old Testament, carrying the word of God. And most of the time he was in the right position, but once or twice he went off the boil and he got into fear and he got threatened and intimidated by Jezebel and started going in the wrong direction. And God basically said to him, "Where are you? What are you doing here?" He'd run off, and God had to bring him back into his right position. Do you remember, just going back to Adam in the garden, when Adam was in the garden, he hid himself because he knew he was naked. He knew that something had left him. The glory of God had left him when he sinned. And God came into that garden. He said, "Adam, where are you?" He'd be saying that to you this morning, perhaps, calling you by your first name and saying, "Where are you? Where are you?" Because God wants to find us right with him and in our right place, our right position, doing the things that God's called us to do. Because when we are, the amazing power of God is released upon our lives and things happen around us. Things happen to us, don't they? God wants you to be in right position with him. And in John's Gospel, chapter 4, think about Jesus. Jesus spent his life living in the right position, living in the right place with God the Father. He was living in this incredible relationship. It wasn't that he was praying sort of quietly away there, all on his own all the time. He did that very early in the morning. But most of his life he was spent very, very publicly giving out what he'd received out of his time, his relationship with God in the prayer place where he prayed. And Jesus was constantly living in the right position, living in the right place for the right time. So just say with me this morning, right place,
right place,
right time.
God
wants you to be living in the right place with God, in your relationship with him, doing the right things for the right time. And Jesus' life is full of those incidents, God incidents, where he was in the right place at the right time. Amen? God wants us to be in the right place, right relationship with him, and doing the right things so that the right things happen at the right time. Listen to these amazing words at verse 31. His disciples urged him, saying, "Teacher, you must eat." He'd been ministering and hadn't eaten for a long time. He said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." Therefore the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him anything to eat?" And Jesus said to them, "My food is to do what?
The will
of him who sent me. You know, God's got a purpose and a plan for everyone in this room today. Even if you don't know Jesus, he's got a plan for you. He's got a position for you. His first position is he wants you to come to know Jesus Christ, the Lord, in your life, know his forgiveness and receive his gift of life. And that's your start point, and then you begin to live for him. But Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. So God's purpose for you, God's food for you, isn't what you had this morning for brekkie, if you had any breakfast. God's food is doing his will. God's food is actually that you find yourself in the right position with him so that you begin to discover the gifts and the callings that God has for you and begin to release those gifts through your life. And wherever you go, you fulfill God's will for you. And Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. So God has a work for every single one of us to do, doesn't he?
Yes.
Doesn't he? Yeah. And in that work, God wants us not just to do the work today, but to finish the work. He wants us to finish what he has begun in us. He wants to finish the course. There are thousands of people that he's entrusted perhaps to you to be saved. That he wants you to tell them about Jesus. And there's lots of different ways you can do that. You can do that on Facebook. You can do that by text. You can do that on the TV. You can do that in your workplace. You can do that down in the town. There's so many different places where we can spread the gospel. And Jesus is saying, whatever I've called you to do, you must do it with a persevering faith so that you will finish the things that I've started. Amen. What the devil wants to do is get us out of position so that we're walking away from the very thing that he called us to be walking in. Is this making sense?
Yes.
That's why we go through difficulties, is sometimes God allows our faith and our discipleship to be tested to see if we've really got it inside of us to go the full way. See, it's not those who start the race, it's those that finish the race that win. Amen. God's called you to be a winner. That means you're going to finish the race. That means you're going to finish the things that God is actually asking you to do in your life. And God wants to fill you with such a vision about what he wants to do in your life and in our life as a church so that we fulfill everything that God's called us to do. We get to the end, we finish our race. Isn't that right, mate? It says here in verse 35, do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Putting things off. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. There you are. That should be your confession. Lord, my food, my real food, my spiritual food, is to do your will. Because you've called me, there's a calling on my life, you've sent me. And as you send me, I'm going to finish the work you've called me to do. I'm going to get to the end. I'm not going to stall. I'm not. Even though it may be difficult right now, I'm going to get through, I'm going to break through into the things that God has called me to do completely and finish the work that he set before me. Because at the end of the day, it's all about people. The reason Jesus came was all about people, reaching people. That was the will of God. That was the food. It was to reach people in so many different ways. And that's God's plan and purpose for every one of us. It's to reach people through our lives. That's our food. It's to do the will of God in the particular way that he's asking you to reach people for Christ. Amen. In the workplace, in your community, with your neighbours, your relatives, and wherever God sends you, God wants you to finish the race. God wants us to be in our right position. Amen? He wants us to be living in a right position with him, in our right place. And if we're living in the right place with him, then the right things will take place. The right things will happen. Won't they?
Amen.
Let's all stand. Let's all stand to our feet. Just respond to the Lord.